Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This is an Odyssey original.
This is War in Ukraine Daily. I'm Charles Feldman from the KNX Odyssey Studios in Los Angeles. President Biden, hoping to offset months of chaos in the global oil market that was touched off by Russia's invasion of Ukraine, has announced the release of 1 million barrels of oil per day from the country's Strategic Petroleum Reserve for the next 6 months. Now, the goal is to reduce record high gas prices, and the question is, will it work? The White House says it is hearing. Vladimir Putin's own advisors are basically lying to him about the war in Ukraine. We look into why and what that means for possible peace. We head to Poland to talk to a veterinarian from San Diego who is taking care of pets and other animals impacted by the war. But we start with a Biden administration plan to pump more oil into the global market with the hopes of easing back high gasoline prices. With us is Ryan Kellogg, professor at the University of Chicago Harris School of Public Policy. He focuses on the oil and gas sectors and environmental policy. So 1 million barrels of oil from the National Strategic Reserves, it sounds like a big number, is it?
A million sure sounds like a really big number. It's important to keep into context. One, world oil consumption is 100 million barrels a day. We're talking about a release of 1 million barrels a day. U.S. consumption is about 20 million barrels a day. Is this going to have a big effect on prices? It's not going to be big. It's also not going to be zero. It looks like crude oil prices have fallen by something like 5% since the announcement. Again, that's not nothing. Does that make up for the supply shortfall that's been caused by the invasion? No, it doesn't. The running estimate from the International Energy Administration is that sort of Russian supply has been cut off to the tune of maybe 3 million barrels a day. That's bigger than one. There's just, you know, releasing oil from the strategic reserves. Is it going to lower prices a little bit? Yes. Is it going to take things back to where they were before the invasion or before people were even worried about the invasion? No.
Ryan, there are those who will argue that this is a political move, nothing more than that. Your take.
Yeah, so it is going to decrease prices. You're not going to see prices fall at the pump immediately. It usually takes a couple of weeks for shocks, for changes in crude oil prices to pass on through to prices you see at the pump when you're driving out it, when you're out driving around. But this fall in the crude oil price that's happened over the past 24 hours, $5, $6, $7 a barrel, that's eventually going to work its way through to gasoline prices. And I would expect there to be a modest decrease in prices at the pump. But
okay.
Again, you know, it's not going to sort of put things back to what people were used to last year.
Right. So the president, as you know, besides having this 1 million barrels a day of oil being released, he's also insisting, or at least pleading, I suppose it depends on your point of view, with oil companies to start pumping, getting more oil out of the ground. Now, there are a couple of issues with that one. One, are the oil companies going to listen? And two, what about the environmental impact?
Yeah, so there's really nothing the administration can do to get private companies to get more oil out of the ground. Most U.S. oil and gas is actually produced off of private land, not land owned by the U.S. government. A lot of the shale oil boom happened on private land. Prices are high now. Firms are going to be interested in drilling more, and I wouldn't be surprised to see more drilling, more production from wells. That's going to take time, though. It takes months to get a rig on site, drill more holes in the ground, and actually meaningfully increase production. A year from now, where we're going to see more oil being pumped? Yeah, sure. It's not something you're going to see tomorrow, and there's really nothing Biden or any president could really do about that.
In your opinion, is he right in calling for Congress to demand these companies pay fees for the wells that have not been used for years?
So for federal land, honestly, even something like that probably wouldn't make too much of a difference on the supply front. In part because so little oil and gas production in the U.S. is coming from onshore federal land. If there's federal land that companies have rights to but haven't drilled, the reason they haven't drilled is probably because the land's not all that productive anyway. So I wouldn't expect a move like that to really sort of move the needle in the near term on oil supply.
All right. Thank you very much. People aren't the only ones who need help in Ukraine. Their pets and other animals need care and medical attention as the war rages on, and especially as more Ukrainians are forced to escape their homes. Veterinarian Dr. Gary Weitzman is president of the San Diego Humane Society. He is now in Poland on a mission to provide care for animals and to set up a border crossing veterinary clinic. Dr. Weitzman is with us now. Doctor, thanks for talking with us from Poland. So tell us about the situation there. We've heard so much about the hardships of Ukrainians escaping Russia's invasion, but how about their pets?
Yeah, hi. It's been good to get over here finally to see it for myself and to see if there's any way for us to help. The animals haven't been forgotten by the people in Ukraine. Many of them are bringing their animals across. That's been becoming more and more difficult as restrictions have increased because some of them have been bringing anywhere from 2 to 20 animals. So the Polish authorities have gotten a little concerned about that and cut it down to 2 animals per person to bring across the border. So that's causing other issues on the other side, where animals may be abandoned on the Ukraine border. But the ones that we're seeing here in Poland now are actually in pretty good shape. They're stressed. You know, the people are stressed. It's just a horrible situation any way you look at it. But the animals are in really good shape, the ones that are coming over. I guess for me, the sobering part is not knowing what's happening to the animals that are left behind.
Right.
And it's a pretty grim story to tell, I think.
Yeah, Doctor, what exactly are you doing? Share with us your mission plan.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I've been working with the International Fund for Animal Welfare, otherwise known as IFAW, and they set up it's small but very powerful right in that border crossing camp where everybody's coming through. It's really one of the first tents that people see. It's a medical tent, and there's supplies for people with their pets if they need carriers for cats or if they need leashes and muzzles, some basic veterinary supplies that we can use here. We're doing all of that right at the border for people when they're coming across. And of course, lots and lots and lots of dog and cat food and bird food. And, you know, we've seen everything from ferrets to snails. Yeah, really, somebody brought over pet snails.
Wait. Someone brought a pet snail?
Snail?
Yeah. I'm not kidding. You know, you got to love that, though. She raised a snail from a snaillet, I guess, you know, and wow. my medical background doesn't go very far into mollusk territory, but this was her pet and she brought him across, or her, I don't know, across the border. But, you know, on the more regular side of things, we're seeing lots and lots of cats and dogs coming too. And they're really in good physical shape. Their mental shape is what we're the most worried about. No.
You know, and I was just going to ask you about that people, I think, sometimes dismiss the fact that animals, pets, might have their own trauma because of this war and being displaced and moving from, you know, an environment they're used to. And perhaps before they left Ukraine, they were hearing explosions, because we've talked to lots and lots of people who have fled Ukraine, telling us about how disturbing it was to them just nightly hearing the bombardment. Tell us a little bit about the psychological issues that these animals seem to be going through, and how do you deal with it?
Yeah, it's really unbelievable for both the people and the animals. So if you think about it, these animals, yeah, they've experienced everything that people have. They might not know consciously, or, you know, they might not really understand what those noises represent, whereas people do. So it can add a little bit more horror on the human side. But for the animals, it's the uncertainty and the unknown. It's loud noises and smells. And you know, obviously, there's lots of injured. There's injured animals as well. Animals without limbs that we've heard about. I haven't seen any of the animals that have been injured. They've been taken care of on the Ukraine side for the most part. But these animals have gone through everything that people have, without any concept of what is happening. So they're pretty terrorized. They're pretty stressed. And then compounded by thinking, you know, there's 50% of these animals coming across the companion side. They're cats. 50% are cats, 50% are dogs. People are just carrying their cats. And I'm astonished. You know, as a vet, I look at these cats and I think, you know, if they were in San Diego, there's no way a cat would stay still in someone's arms. But coming across a war zone border, these cats are just, you know, being held and behaving. So we're getting them carriers and harnesses and all sorts of things to try to calm them down. They're really in surprisingly good shape once they've come across the border, though.
Doctor, what about strays? I understand you have a dog named Slava there. Tell us about Slava.
Oh, Slava, yes. You know, Slava Ukraini, the cry for peace from the Ukraine side. Slava means glory, and this dog was found, we found this dog this morning, and he had been wandering the streets, and there's small highways here, and he's been wandering the highways, and it's been fairly good weather for March in Poland, but it's really getting cold today, and rain nonstop for the last 36 hours, and then snow coming, so we wanted to get that dog, so we coaxed him with a bowl of food and kibble. And honestly, the woman I've been with, her name is Diane. She's an animal control officer in Massachusetts, and she was just amazing. I'd like to say we got that dog, but she got that dog. But I got to take care of him once we got him, and that was really great.
One quick question: I'm curious, have you ever done anything like this in your career? I mean, there couldn't be anything farther from San Diego, where I guess you practice, to what you're doing now.
You know what? Honestly, guys, I think that question could go for everybody here, whether or not they're a victim of this disaster or someone trying to help make it better. Nobody has gone through anything like this in their lives before.
Yeah. Okay. Dr. Weitzman, thank you. Thank you for the work you're doing. Again, that's veterinarian Dr. Gary Weitzman, president of the San Diego Humane Society, joining us from Poland.
U.S. intelligence has determined that Vladimir Putin is not getting the entire picture of his invasion of Ukraine. The intel assessment finds that Putin's top advisors are not accurately portraying his military's struggles in Ukraine. They are apparently scared to give him bad news. Matthew Schmidt is a Russia expert, professor of national security, international affairs, and political science at the University of New Haven. He's worked with the Senate and House Armed Services Committee and members of Congress as a consultant on strategic planning. So here's my question. Why are Putin's advisors lying to him?
Because it's an authoritarian system, right? Putin's to blame for his own mess here. What happens with these guys is they have no way out. It's unsafe for them to tell Putin what they think he doesn't want to hear, and they can't just resign if they disagree with his policies. They're trapped and their families are at risk. And so all of this together means that you don't necessarily tell the truth, even if you're not fully lying.
Here's what I don't quite understand. You know, censorship, as you know, is pretty heavy in Russia right about now, and the average person does not have access to a free flow of information. I presume that Vladimir Putin does, that he could watch and listen to anything he wants to watch and listen to. So why isn't he getting all this information elsewhere?
Of course, he could do that, but his own psychology is, in essence, you know, preventing him from doing it, right? We all know situations where we don't want to open up that envelope and see what's inside, and that's essentially the position that he's in. And you have to understand also that this is akin to someone sort of being racist, right, which Putin essentially is against Ukrainians here, where he's got a worldview, and he's just not willing to see what's outside of that worldview. He just doesn't believe that something outside of how he sees the world could even be true and therefore even be worth his time.
Well, what does this say about Vladimir Putin's state of mind?
He's rational. He's not crazy. But he has a different kind of reasoning that he follows logically. He goes from his A to his B to his C, right? Which is the definition of rationality. But it's not a system of reasoning that we agree with, right? It's like having that crazy uncle at dinner that we call crazy. But he's actually quite rational. He just sees the world in a logical way that we don't agree with. We think his logic is in error, but it's still logical.
What about this contrarian point of view, which I'm sure you're familiar with, which is that Putin is crazy like a fox, and that it isn't that he's not getting the information that he should be getting, but that he's following a game plan that he always wanted to follow, which is essentially to end up with the eastern portion of Ukraine and to, in his point of view, hopefully cut off the access of the rest of Ukraine to the sea. And so all this other stuff is just a bunch of people guessing that he's getting bad information.
I generally disagree with everything that you said. Putin is not a strategic genius. His basic approach to things is that when the situation doesn't look the way he wants it to, he creates chaos. He breaks things, and then he's good at finding targets of opportunity, right? In the float sam of whatever he's breaking, he looks for things to then make his next move again. But he's not particularly good about planning out, you know, move 1, 2, 3, and 7 in order. It's the bulk of my work that suggests that Putin, for instance, this isn't about NATO. This isn't about Ukraine being in NATO. Missiles don't reach Moscow any faster from Ukraine than they would from Estonia, which is already a NATO country, right? And it's a misunderstanding of modern war if he's even worried at all about NATO's intentions, right? If he thinks NATO wants to take Moscow, well, he's just stupid, right? The real thing that he wants, though, is to rebuild this sort of Russian world, this cultural space in Eurasia that is anti-Western, that breaks our values, that is anti-democratic, right? And that he believes he has sort of a divine mission to create in order to keep this Russian viewpoint, as in something that's important in human history. He feels like that space collapsed when the Soviet Union went down, and he's trying to preserve it. And that's what this war is about. Ukraine is the center of being able to achieve that manifest destiny, right? And that's what this is about, and that's why he's hard to deter.
All right. Matthew, thank you so much for your perspective. Again, that's Matthew Schmidt, Russia expert, joining us from the University of New Haven.
You'll find this Odyssey original podcast and others at odyssey.com and on the Odyssey smartphone app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.